talents. Sometimes in ways that are easy, sometimes in ways that are hard, sometimes we pass, sometimes we fail. But it's all kind of part of that journey, and God uses both our strengths and our weaknesses regardless. And we'll kind of get into more of that as we go, but now, tolling. What's it talking about? So what do you think over? What comes to mind, or how would you define a tolling?
My calling or?
Or tolling in general.
Calling in general.
Okay. What is a tolling?
I think calling starts at a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't recognize it.
Uh-huh.
But as you get older, if you are not into the proper calling,
uh-huh.
somehow that comes forth. And you realize that He's been speaking to you all the time.
Mm.
And
yeah.
Not for me, personally, it was... people have always been coming to me to tell me their problems. their
trying
fears,
your compassion, maybe?
Their fears, and really sharing their heart. And this was started when I was young, and with other kids. And as I grew, it continued, and to the point where even when I was married and my husband and I were away, it would keep happening constantly. And he said, how did these people find you 1,000 miles away? I said, well, I don't know. But I recognized that, and I went up. But when I was actually called to
mm-hmm.
do something by God, and that was to lead Celebrate Recovery, I said, you have the wrong person. It's not me. I can't do this. I don't know anything. I don't know. I can't do it.
Uh-huh.
But I did it. And it wasn't me who was speaking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really felt Him through me,
yeah.
speaking through me. So that's the calling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I love it. Katie?
I feel like the general definition of, like, calling is something that you can't not do. Like, you know, even, I'm going to use Anna as an example because she's the first person that, like, that came to my head. But, an easy example at least. But, like, Anna leads worship and we're very, very grateful. But even if she wasn't leading, like, Anna always, like, I know she listened to worship music on her way to work. She, like, cannot stop worship. Like, that is something that is just built into her DNA. Whereas I would say, like, that is not built necessarily, and that's not in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that thing that, like, even if you are struggling, like, you end up doing it anyway eventually, even if God puts you in a whale. Like,
uh-huh.
I'm sorry, a big fish. But I that's how I see calling. It's the thing that you just, like, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Oh, in Spanish, we say un don. I just had to Google it on my phone. It translates to a gift.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
So with a lot of Spanish people be like, oh, ese muchacho tiene un don. That little child has a gift.
Okay.
So like a calling is a gift from God that God has given you.
Yeah.
And you, over time, you realize it and you can put it, you can either use it for good or use it for bad.
Mm-hmm.
With great strength comes great responsibility.
that's kind of what I was going to say is like, and this is partially my background, but I've never felt the voice from above saying, this is your way. But in the practical outworking of a concept in my life, it's basically been open to opportunities to use my gifts for God.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Kelly said, a calling is something that you're compelled to do and perhaps share with others.
Mm.
Okay,
so, and, you know, anytime we're doing definition, just like to look at the dictionary, and I think everybody already covered all of this, a strong inner impulse toward a particular course of action, especially when accompanied by conviction to divine influence, I think, yeah, you totally covered that, and then vocation or profession in which one customarily engages. So, yeah, what to do? and then, some people already explained this, but what are people's experiences when it comes to having a calling? And to where, when they overcome with that, you know it, never found one, fulfilled it. Ever anybody changed or had their calling challenged? Or having multiple? Yeah.
Having been told my entire life that my calling was to be a wife and a mother?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
Millie,
that the only true calling of any woman was that?
Yeah.
And then trying to find my way out of that into what my actual calling is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Jennifer?
I think you define it as you mature through life.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Yeah.
And I think my whole, I like to lighten the load. And a lot of times it's not always physical, it's emotional or, you know, depression or something like that. So I think that covers a whole lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot of times it's not physical anymore.
I was just going to give an example of that. I did not realize my mother considered that her calling, but I can tell you that throughout this process, especially the last 3 weeks of working on the national boards, my mother has done everything in her power to lighten my load. Like, and it has been, I just came out of this funk of like, oh, there's like life again. But like, and I still have like all these things to do. Like my room's a mess and all this stuff, but the house isn't a mess, right? There's still food in the fridge.
Yeah.
My clothes are clean. Like all those little things that she has worked on really hard just to provide me with the space to do what I need to do, she has definitely lightened my load. So I can say that I did not know that that's what she considered a calling, but it is something I've seen lived out very, very nicely in the last 3 weeks.
Of course, I have a list of things to do for you.
She's like, your load's been light. You finished. Now it's my turn.
But I really like that kind of like loose definition or help-bay definition that you can like, you know, I am called to be a teacher or an evangelist, but, you know, or even, yeah.
Go finish.
You know, or even, like, you know, I have the gift of administration, so that's my calling. But, yeah, a lift or a load, yeah.
Kelly, why don't you, I see you typing away. Rather than reading for you, you want to share, or do you want me to read?
Hold on. Yeah, usually, so most of my life I've just been like, oh, well, something in art, right? That makes sense, because
right.
I love art.
Yeah.
Like, I always wanted to tell stories to children and stuff, and be impressionable in their lives in some way, by sharing stories, like animation has done for me.
Yeah.
But I'm not in art. But I also still feel like I help others by like listening to them and sharing with them and trying to give them advice.
Yeah.
So I guess I don't know. I'm compelled to. Sometimes I just can't help myself. Like, oh, I really need to like fix things for you and help you in some way. And sometimes I have to be like, okay, maybe they don't need me to. This advice is actually to tell them I can't help you, but maybe God can.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, absolutely. And that's hard. Like. That is, especially when you have just, you have a heart for people, but knowing when you can't or shouldn't, and that is so hard.
Like, I could give you the $50 you need, but, like, this is the third time you've asked, and I don't know it's the right, like, that's a very common one I feel like we see more often in the world today, I'm not saying, but, like, knowing when you're like, I can't help you this time, like, that is a really hard
Yeah.
But that is a calling to know, too.
I have half a pack of cigarettes, a full tank of gas, it's dark, and I'm wearing sunglasses.
Is that from a movie?
It's from the Blues Brothers.
I should know them.
They're on a mission from God. Yeah, you may not feel like you have a lot of resources, but you are confident that you are on a mission from God.
You know, I think
sometimes you're not so confident.
I think sometimes too, you know, your calling doesn't really define what your professional. I've often, I mean, to tell you the truth, I don't like where I work. I mean, I like the job, but the type of job I like, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't particularly care for because I don't like politics, and here I am stuck in this.
Yeah.
Oh God.
And I say stuck because, you know, many times I shouldn't have been there this long. I think.
Uh-huh.
That's not what he said.
Right.
You know,
yeah. Uh-huh.
You decided to work here. I'm going to make you work. So, but he made me work in a different way, and
uh-huh.
I didn't think that I'd ever do something that I really loved,
mm-hmm.
you know? And of course my love is helping other people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And in my own way, I guess I have done that.
Oh yeah.
Work.
Yeah.
Oh, I know about work, but I know that.
Yeah.
Well, I know about work, and she has.
But you know, he has. It's just amazing how he works, and I never lose that wonder and that surprise of how he works, because he does it every day.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'm too wrapped up in my own issues and my own problems, and you know, but you know, he's, it's okay, I got this. And it's just like when I was looking for a place to live, and I kept praying, and you know, it's been difficult because it's expensive, or they're not the right place. So I just said, please put me in the right place, please put me in the right place. So I went and saw this house, and when I walked in the house, there was a car, there was something hanging there from God.
Oh,
my God, this is the place that you want me to have.
Oh.
And it didn't feel like that because I had to chew through a lot of
right.
didn't feel like it. I felt that too, you know. So this morning with the songs that were here, it really touched me because, you know, I am all his, and I have to surrender myself on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And trust him. And he and I have battled that a lot.
Understood.
So, but thanks for letting me share that.
No, absolutely.
And I did sign the lease. Yeah.
Woo! And thank you for sharing with me. I'm really good to hear.
Yeah. I just wanted to share, like, when's, like, because everyone's kind of sharing different colleagues, but the never found one. I can't speak to that from personal experience, but I do know that that can be a struggle as well. So I just wanted to offer a word of encouragement, because sometimes callings are kind of like, I look at the work and the gardener in there, right? And gardens are a lot of work. And like, there are times where like, you want so badly for fruit to show, but you don't know what you're doing, or you have to keep tilling this ground or whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And just because you haven't found your calling, or you don't feel, or sometimes you might have found it, but you don't know you found it. like, it doesn't mean God's still not working. So I just wanted to offer that encourage, since no one chose the second option. So
Well, yeah.
Or
I mean, like,
to share.
come closer to me, but never found one. But like, just like, I used to think I wanted to be a writer.
This is the minister of shepherding.
I know.
It's temporary.
Colleagues can be temporary. They don't have to be.
Oh, absolutely.
But you're a beautiful, very eloquent writer, and I can understand where, you know.
Yeah,
and you,
but
and
I hate writing. I hate homework, which is basically what writing is, if you want to do stories.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so like, there's definitely been a lot of muddling around, but the places I found most closely tied to it have been less defined, kind of what, combination of like what Lee and Jennifer were talking about, like just like listening to people and, you know, lightening the load. Yeah. But
I think that's really what the calling is.
Yes.
It is not your profession.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And I think it takes a little while for you to get to the point where you understand, well,
mm-hmm.
oh, I just always dreamt I was going to be an actress because of this or that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you just didn't have the fortitude, or you just didn't have the talent.
Yeah.
But it didn't mean that was your calling, you know?
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be limited to that's
yes.
a different thing. It shouldn't be limited to a profession.
Yeah, I very much agree. Yeah.
I have one where my calling was challenged.
Yeah.
I won't put his business out there, but a really close friend of mine is going through a divorce right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And not to put his business out there, but he caught his wife cheating on him.
Mm-hmm.
And you know me, I always got something to say, but I'm always there to help my friends out. And for some reason, like, everybody had an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And we was all together. First it started, we was eating. And we was all with... And at first, I wanted to say so much because I was so angry. I was very angry because something in my heart in the beginning said, don't trust this girl. But I was like, shut up, he's happy, whatever. They ended up getting married, whatnot, and then this happened. So it's like, I wanted to be like, I told you so, but like he's calling me and texting me like, I need your help because you always know what to say. And, you know, he's like, you're like my big brother. And he's like, you know, you really helped me in my life. And I wanted to say so many bad things and like, let her be, like F her and just take everything, divorce her, that's infidelity. Like, but... For some reason, scripture came to my heart, and the book of Job just came to my heart, and while everybody was making their opinions, and they were valid, I just stood quiet, and he looked at me, and he said, what do you think, bro? And I was like, I told him, I was like, I think I just want to be here for you. Like, I just want to hear you.
Yeah.
Listen to you.
Yeah.
I said, how do you feel?
Yeah.
I was like...
Yeah.
And then I said it out loud in front of everybody. I was like, I think we should just be here for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we went from eating and we ended up in the house. And it went from like six of us to just two of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just in dark and silence. And we fell asleep in the living room. I was on the floor, fell asleep. And then we woke up early the next day and he was like, I got to go to work. I had to go to... And then I just got a text. He was like, I needed that.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, so, me, I always have something to say, and I can always fix things. But my gift was challenged because I just needed to shut up.
Yeah.
And just listen.
Yeah.
And then, like, I even spoke to Paul about it. I was like, man, I didn't want to be like Job's friends.
Yeah.
You must have done something to deserve this, or something happened that you did.
Yeah.
So, Job just needed someone to be there with him.
Good for the first 3 days, and then people have been around.
You know what I mean? So, kind of just stood in silence and just heard him wept and was just there for him. Man.
Yeah, no.
So, yeah, some people just need that, man. So,
no, thank you for sharing. Like,
because, you know, I wanted to say something. You know me. I'm ready to beat her up. Something. But, yeah, man.
But, you know, that gives you time to regroup, too. Because a lot of, you know, the advice you're giving maybe isn't off the top of your hand, isn't what is, you know. Acceptable.
It was hard for me to bite my tongue.
Yeah. Because
like I said, I always got something to say.
Yeah.
So.
No.
And it sounds like what you wanted to say, other people had already said anyways.
Yeah.
Probably. Not the way I wanted to
say. No!
I got it right.
There you go. But, you know, like, he just kept asking me for, like, and I was just like, I just think you need it. I told him, I just think you need it more, bro. I just, it's cool to... Yeah, I understand, but just how do you feel?
Yeah.
Like, what do you feel?
Yeah.
Don't worry about the future or what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Just focus on what's happening right now. What do you?
Yeah, no, you're right. Mm-hmm.
And he ended up forgiving her. He just had dinner with her the other night with her father. I mean, they're going their ways, but he's like, end it with peace, man. Just
That's impressive.
Yep.
Yeah, no hardship, no badness, but yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
I think we kind of already but emerging and challenging calling or figuring out ICLEO, I think we kind of already covered that. And now, when we talk about callings in the Bible, we don't normally go to the Beatitudes, but I kind of like just kind of looking at these through those lenses. Just too often, you know, we think the profession or the, you know, the very specific calling, and these are more general. And they're more of a heart position than a what we traditionally call a calling. Anna, would you mind reading?
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled.
Melanie, can you continue?
Oh.
I know, I was waiting for it to come up here.
7, 8, 9.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it stops. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God.
Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
Okay, I just want to take a few minutes to everybody kind of just read over to yourself and just kind of highlight things that really stick out, like things that you've felt God's hand in that you've experienced before. Like, whether that's a calling or just, you know, you've leaned into that. Did you want
Katie, can you go back and then forward again so I can screenshot?
Yes.
Oh,
it's
Matthew 3 through 10.
Oh, I got
but,
it.
Yeah,
3 through 11.
My bad.
Ooh. 5, 3 through 11.
Yeah.
That.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have a question.
Yeah.
Not a lot.
I know. And this is probably one. I said, blessed are the poor in spirit.
Yeah.
What is considered poor in spirit?
My understanding is it's basically, in some ways, humility, like knowing knowing you don't have it all.
Me?
Well, okay, yeah.
Before I came to God.
But that's not, that wouldn't be the humility he's talking about.
Well, the poor, when I say blessed are the poor in spirit, like, I highlight that one because, for instance, in my case, I have a not religious, but I have a family that went to church, etc., right? So it's like, I know the word of God. I've heard it. I can recite, even as a child, I could recite verses, right?
Uh-huh.
So I already heard the word, know his goodness, felt his goodness, but I was still choosing to live a life that didn't obliged by the ways, right? So it's like, I felt like spiritually I was dying. Spiritually, my spirit was poor. Like, it was,
okay.
Because it wasn't until I came to God and got baptized, when I actually, as an adult, and I understood it, and I feel like I said, I have this peace in me now that no matter what happens to my physical body or what happens in this physical world, not that I'm guaranteed or secure, but I know where my spirit is going, and I know who I believe in, and I know that if I'm going to be judged by anybody, he will judge me, and it's okay, because I'd rather him judge me than anything else. So it's like there's this peace that no matter what happens, I'm going to be okay. So my spirit is at peace. Like, my spirit, I have a financial security for my spirit.
Like, I like that.
It's like, yeah, it's like secure. Like,
yeah.
Like, but I can lose it, though. So it's secured, yes. But I got to be on top of my game, because at any moment that security can leave me if I make the wrong decision or the wrong choice in my life. It's secure because I made that choice, and as long as I oblige by him and his word, I'm secure. But the moment I, you know the commandments, do not kill, do not this. The moment I know those things,
yeah.
Say I go do one of those things, I lose my security. But as long as I stay within the realm of those principles, my spirit is secure, and that's the piece that my spirit is just secure.
Let me check to clear up what you mean. Like, you know your own vulnerabilities. You know the weaknesses within yourself.
Yeah. For sure. I need them every day, because if I didn't or have those weaknesses, I think I'd be better than God at that point. But the fact is that I look for him every day because I'm weak is...
Yeah, knowing your weaknesses, knowing your poverty.
Yeah. No, for sure.
Yeah.
Because the moment you don't ask for forgiveness or think you know better or something, that something's wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not perfect.
Yeah. Her.
So I pulled up Bible Hub to do a comparative study across the different translations because I can't read the original.
Uh-huh.
So Amplified Bible says that poor in spirit means those devoid of spiritual arrogance, those who regard themselves as insignificant.
Mm-hmm.
Another translation says people who depend only on God.
Okay.
Recognize they're spiritually helpless.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
the spiritually helpless, I think I like that, because when I think of the poor in spirit, it's the people who know how much they need God. Like, that's what I think of when I think of poor in spirit.
Mm-hmm.
To be poor in spirit is to know how much you need God.
Yeah.
And expect Him to fill it.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't have made that first either if it wasn't really important. You know what I mean?
I think, you know, especially at the time, one of the major themes that Jesus keeps coming back to is, you know, these people who are so secure, the Pharisees at the time, they're not doing it right. And, you know, the people that nobody expects, the child, the criminal on the cross, the, you know, the person who's in the back of the pew, you know, the back of the church praying for forgiveness. Jesus said that, like, you know, the you know, I've come for the, or I'm not butchering it, but
save the lost.
That too.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking the, you know, the well don't need a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
And so I think that, you know, like he's starting off, like, because this is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, and this is basically the first line that we have recorded of it. And basically, you think you're not a part of this, you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
So I think it's...
That's interesting. You say you're not a part of it. What is it that you, and you are? What do you mean that you think you're not a part of it?
If you think that, oh, I'm doing everything right, and therefore God is going to bless me because I'm amazing at how good I am at following His commands.
Yeah,
because I am so good at following.
But the people
all me.
But there's so much in here that's life experiences. I mean, whenever you blessed are those who mourn. Face it, everybody's going to mourn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you are going to come a time that is, whether it's for
not
a happy
knows
how to mourn.
Well, that's, but true. But that brings a good thing, because the only people who, everyone might mourn, but you're not going to be comforted if you're also not poor in spirit. Because you don't, if you're not looking for comfort for God, you're not going to get it.
Mm.
Like, God might, you know what I mean? Because your heart is hard. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like having a being poor in spirit is like having a soft heart.
Yeah,
oh,
I kind of feel like
heart.
I kind of feel like in this context, blessed are those who mourn, or just as much blessed are those who allow themselves to mourn.
Mm-hmm.
And to be seen mourning without, like, to have the vulnerability of mourning, not to mourn to get attention.
For me, this, when I talk, I speak from personal experience, right? Like, and I don't mean it, like, for 7, 8, 9 for me was big for me, because I lived a life before where I would tell people, you scared, go to church, or if you believe in God, may God forgive you, because I don't. Like, it's the truth. I would tell people that. And, like, as when I had my own kids, man, like, my life changed a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, it said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Right? So, this one hits me hard, the last one, because where I come from, I've seen a lot of bad, a lot of hurt, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when I moved out here and I changed my life and I gave my life to God, like, I got to really meet some good people in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And in my life, a lot of people always wanted something from me.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first time in my life as an adult, God put me around people that they don't want nothing from me. Or a friend, or just a friendship, or just you can actually see just the pure goodness in people's heart, that they just do it for goodness. They don't do it for attention. They don't do it for the light or the I'm gonna feed the poor because I want, you know, or
mm-hmm.
it's not for TikTok or it's not for Instagram.
Yeah.
You meet people that really just want to do good because that's who they are.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to see God through people, through pastor, through everybody in here. I seen a piece of God.
Yeah.
You know, God is God. I believe that God is also great in His energy, but also God is like a mental state. Like, when you do good, that's God. When you love, that's God. When you help the poor, that's God. When you feed the when you help someone put bags in the old lady bags in the car, that's God. That's goodness. God is love, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, I learned that as an adult. I don't mean to take away from God, say God is my state of mind.
No.
What I'm saying is, God is everywhere.
God is there and showing up more.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere. Everywhere. You just got to
see
it.
Part of the
it.
Mystery.
You
yeah.
know? And I've seen it for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I got to taste it. God.
What? Kelly. Kelly wants to talk.
Which guy?
The one that I raised the hand
yeah.
for.
Oh. Thank you. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, so the beatitudes, I don't know, or beatitudes?
Beatitudes.
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 Okay.
Like beatitudes.
An attitude of Christ.
when I was reading them, I was just like, kind of like thinking to myself, like, this seems more like when you, like, these verses just kind of like, made me think of when you have it all, you don't feel like you need anything else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So blessed are you who understand and humble yourselves.
Yeah.
Like
mm-hmm.
you know that you don't have it all. Like you know that there's still more provisions from elsewhere, like God, and like you know, like you can't be comforted if you're always already comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can't be like. If you think that you know it all from cover to cover, from page to page, you can't learn anything else.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So, you know, there may be a deficit in places, but that's where, you know, you can seek God to fill it.
Yeah.
And if you're always hungry and thirsty, you know, you're going to always look for more. You know what I mean? Like, if you already have, like, a full table, you're not going to look elsewhere.
Mm.
I mean, like, that's kind of what it was, when I was reading it, I kind of, like, digested it that way, where it's, like, yeah, we're blessed because, you know, we lack something,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, we're blessed because we understand that lack, and we can be merciful to others, or, you know, like, we can see it in others. Like, you know, like, if you're in that position, you're never going to be able to level set and understand and empathize with others to be able to share with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's what I got from the
yeah,
verses.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And going on that, too, it's an action. It's two actions. You have to take two. I mean, you're blessed if you mourn, but then you'll be comforted, or you're blessed if you're meek, for then you'll inherit the earth. It's an action. It's an individual choice to do this,
mm-hmm.
to
yeah.
to be merciful. It's individual choice
yeah.
to be merciful.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we got to move on. Here's a whole other passage.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
Oh, yeah.
It's good, girl.
Come back.
You're
good.
Okay.
Mine wasn't really that important. It's just something that I always think of when I read this verse.
Okay. Moving on to the next two verses after that, which kind of really brings home. Jennifer, would you mind reading these 13 and 14?
Sure. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and they give its light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven.
Yeah, and that last verse really, like, especially when we're talking about calling and gifts and everything else, like, don't forget, you know, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And you are meant to show up.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think that last verse is a really good...
Mm-hmm.
And it's maybe because of what I was thinking for the other one, but the last verses in the Beatitudes are talking about, blessed are you when you're persecuted because of me, because of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you check when somebody's being mean to you to tell if it's persecution or not is, hey, am I aligned with Christ in this behavior that got me where I am right now, or am I just being a jerk?
Right.
And in verse 16, it's kind of the same way. If I'm aligned with Christ in what I'm doing that's make my light shining, then the glory will go to God, not to me.
Mm-hmm.
I might get thanked, but the glory is directed to God.
Amen. They may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven.
So if they're not glorifying God, then
well,
this is
okay.
not
okay.
this is not letting my light shine. This is me putting myself on a pedestal for me.
Jennifer.
Have you ever done something that you thought might be helpful and it was not helpful or
oh,
are you,
yeah.
you know? And then it's like when I'm reading this and I'm thinking, it says, see your good, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Well, if you do something, and because that bothers me, a lot of times I'll go back and I'll rethink what I've said and I think, oh, I wish I hadn't done that or can I take it back? But if it doesn't glorify God, then it doesn't stand.
Yeah.
You know, so if I did something incorrect and out of order, it's not going to stand. So people are going to forget it. I may never forget it. I may have, you know, to have gotten there. But, you know.
3 a.m., your brain says, remember that time.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah.
In 16,
yeah.
In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And my question is, don't you think that some people shines their light before others to, what do I want to say? I guess don't let your calling be so strong that you expect people to see you.
I know what you're saying.
Don't be a douche.
I know what you want to say. It's the same way that Jesus kind of addresses it in another verse where he says, like, they give so people will praise them.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, like, it's really important that these verses come after the Beatitudes. Because
mm-hmm.
he's telling you what you need to be like before your good deeds can glorify him. Because if you haven't been poor in spirit, your good deeds are going to glorify you.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's very important where this verse comes in. Like, you know, because your good deeds, it's very easy. Like, I mean, I was someone, like, I mean, especially in my childhood, man, I wanted to do the right thing, but more than doing the right thing, I wanted people to see me doing the right thing. All right, like, I that was, like, this huge... And, you know, and nowadays it's like, actually, I don't need to be seen. And, like, I think with today's social media and everything, it gets even harder, right?
Yeah.
Because there's this whole, like, sometimes it's good to publicize something that's happening,
right?
Like, but there's also this, like, look at me, look what I did, look, I'm pretty, sparkle, sparkle, like me. So, like, that is a really hard thing, but I think it really comes down to what are we trying to do? Like, what, and where is our heart? And
that's
so, and that's why Jesus says both.
Yeah.
Use your good deeds. So that, you know, people will look at me, and then at another time, he tells them, they've already earned their reward. They got their praise.
Yeah.
Which, to be fair, when I was a child, that is what I wanted, and I thought that was a square deal.
I read a meme, but, like, it also reminded me of something else. But, like, you know what? Sometimes, you know what? If you get your earthly reward, but you're also still doing good in the world, you're still doing good in the world.
Yeah.
Like, there is... Don't overcomplicate it. Like, I once went into a bit of a thought spiral where I'm like, I haven't promoted, so, you know, but I'm like, but at the end of the day, I'm like, but I still want to do it because there's good in the world, even if there's no reward, because I'm getting it now, I want there to be good in the world, and if my motivations are impure, at least there's good in the world.
Okay, I have two things to say. One, I love your little thing where it says we are called to show up, because probably the most frequent thing I will say, like, when I talk to people in the hallway about how you're doing, because everybody at my work is, like, drenched, right? So it's like, how are you doing? Yeah, I'm exhausted, right? But I say it all the time, 80% of the battle is showing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about that with calling a lot, too, because, like, 80% of the battle is just doing it. Like, I think I can get, like, it's not perfect, or I'm not good enough, or I don't have this.
Yeah.
And so, like, you don't show up at all. Right?
Right?
Like, you never do anything with your calling because you're like, yeah, sure, whatever, but, like, I'm not ready yet.
Right.
And I have to share, I love this quote. I've shared it before, but I think everyone here has heard it by this point, but I think it's so beautiful and important as we talk about calling.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Our Deepest Fear quote, and it's our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is we are powerful beyond measure.
Mm-hmm.
It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, do you have this in your slides? Is that
no.
Oh, okay.
I'm laughing because it's true.
Yes, okay. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. This is my favorite part. You playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine, as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we're liberated from our fear, our presence automatically liberates others.
Preach!
And that's Marianne Williamson. And I really wanted to, I gotta get the book that it's from, because I've never read it, but it's such a good quote.
I've read it somewhere, I swear. Like, our
yeah, no, it's all over.
How do we balance that with humility?
Mm-hmm. Well,
that's being humble. I think I'm gorgeous. In the name of Jesus, I'm gorgeous.
I was thinking
the
tension.
Okay, I like that.
We'll talk more later.
Well, can I just say real quick, this is something my best friend in college told me, and I loved it.
Uh-huh.
Being humble, right, or arrogant, sorry. Arrogance is not saying I'm good at this. Arrogance is saying, because I'm good at this, I'm better than everyone else.
Mm.
So, like, God even says to look at us with a sober mindset. So if you're like, I'm gorgeous and everyone else is less gorgeous, that's not humble. But if you just accept the fact that, like, I'm gorgeous because I was made in the image of God.
Amen.
It's comparison that makes
that's
it problematic.
That's what I'm beautiful in the name
usually,
of Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm made in his image.
Yeah. So
I may not be 7 feet tall.
But you are gorgeous, and I love that you said it. So
thank you.
I'm gorgeous in every way.
That's not a useful tall.
I don't know. I'm very short. Useful tall is great.
Yeah.
But you don't need 7 feet.
Yeah.
Like 5'10".
Okay.
Sorry, I've seen a trend,
and I think this is just the corner of YouTube that I live in. But because I see a lot of reaction videos to things, but apparently there's a bit of a ramping up of people recording themselves doing this and putting it online so everyone can doubly praise them. Being in like a metro train or a plane that's disembarking or some place where people are trapped with you and standing up and calling everyone's attention and starting to preach.
That's not the biblical.
No,
because you don't make people uncomfortable.
Well,
you know?
The Lord makes people uncomfortable, but
you don't use force.
Yes, and you don't record yourself and put it online so everyone can praise you for your brave witness to people who couldn't leave.
Yes, Jesus never hogtied anyone down and said, "Listen to me preach."
Yeah. Okay, I am gonna have to move
on
here. Okay, really quick. God uses all our strengths and weaknesses. David had both courage and faith. Peter, bold and dedicated, and a little bit flaky sometimes. Paul had real, both good and bad, with a lot of learning too. Esther. Had that tenuous privilege of being the second wife after.
She was also hot.
But cautious daring as well. Moses had that speech impediment, didn't even let his brother talk, but had access to Pharaoh that other people didn't. Mary, faith, and her life filled with both sorrow and joy. Gideon, the smallest of the small, leading the armies. And then Jonah, a literal lack of wit, the willingness and hardness and heart. And God was able to use all of them.
And all of them failed at one time.
Peter's meme is he's confused, but he got the spirit.
Yeah, there's a little bit. Okay.
And Paul is just straight up autistic.
And then, Jennifer, did you want to say anything before?
I just wanted to say, and all of them failed at one time. You know, these people that he used and that we revere, so to speak.
I think. One of the best things about Kermit biblical examples is that they are very, very human.
Yeah.
And too often, and this is something I had to realize, the term saint, in our modern vernacular, it means somebody on a pedestal.
Right.
But in reality, every saint was just a person. Yeah.
That was, I guess that was their way of identifying, you know, instead of saying what religion, I'm a saint. Because
no, they said a follower of the way. That's what they called themselves at first.
Okay, well, never mind. But what I'm just saying is, you know how you say Christian or
so
whatever?
Saint, it just means holy ones, but holy ones means set apart. So those set apart for God. That's what Saint means. So just, there you go. End of story.
But, anyway. So just kind of, in summary, you know what we did today. Our calling is not always just one thing. Show up. And God do for all of us.
Hallelujah, amen.
Can I start referring to ourselves as followers of the way again?
Yeah.
Follow of the way.
I will say, this hasn't shown up in a sermon yet, but it will. Is that the Mandalorian way of saying this is the way? But the point of the way they say that is to remind each other of that, yes, this is hard. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, but this is the way. Right? Like, it's just
okay,
like, and that is why I like love that, and I would say
that
the
way
people
of the Mandalorian.
Yes, but like the way of the Christian is also hard. Like the whole point where my favorite scene in Mandalorian is was like when the Mandalorian is supposed to take Grogu. He's like, I'm supposed to take him back to our ancient enemy so he can grow up to slaughter us. And the person just looks at him and says, "This is the way." And like that's just every time
right.
I think about that, I think about Christians and like I have to forgive and love those awful.
You know,
this is the way.